Hello, everyone. Welcome back to a new episode of the Sens Hour podcast. Before we get into it, let's hear a quick word from our sponsor, DraftKings. And the return we've been waiting for is finally here. Out of the sport's most notorious icon is stepping back into the octagon this Saturday. DraftKings is hosting, is your official fantasy partner of the UFC, and is giving you a free shot at a huge prize for this weekend's fight. DraftKings is offering new players a free shot at $1 million in total prizes with first deposit. If you haven't tried it yet, fantasy MMA is easy to play. Pick six fighters, stand with the salary cap, pile up points for your advances, takedowns, and more. There's no better way to put your MMA knowledge to the test than compete for a shot at $1 million. And who wouldn't want $1 million right now? Personally, I might even enter this because I'm watching the fight on Saturday. And it's all weekend. You can do it also with hockey as well. Perfectly easy. Go on DraftKings, sign up, pick your daily lineup. Super fun. It's safe, secure, and reliable. You can deposit, withdraw your funds at your convenience. You can download the DraftKings app now and use the promo code THPN to get a free shot at $1 million in total prizes throughout the weekend. That's promo code THPN to get a free shot at $1 million in total prizes only at DraftKings. And it's a minimum $5 deposit. But head on over, use promo code THPN DraftKings. And with that, we are going to jump right into it. It was a crazy weekend for Sens fans. We started off with the Toronto game, so we'll jump into that before moving on to the roller coaster of emotions Jets game. But, you know, I rewatched the game a little bit, watched some key points, and Ottawa looked like a young team trying to figure it out chemistry-wise in the second game versus the Leafs. I wasn't really surprised with the outcome.
No, actually, it was a very fortunate outcome. If we look at the score alone, 3-2, that game could have been a complete blowout. The shots on goal were 40-19. It was heavily one-sided in that game, favoring the Toronto Maple Leafs. And, the only real positive out of that game was that we got to see one hell of a first goal from Tim Stützle. From a Senators perspective, from a Leafs perspective, they dominated the game. I thought the biggest struggle was probably the faceoff circle. Would you agree?
Yeah, 100%. I think Spezza went 10-0 against us in that faceoffs.
So the Leafs won 62.5% of the faceoffs, Ottawa at 37.5%. Specifically, the faceoffs on the Sens power plays really, really hurt them. I mean, they went 0-5 on the man advantage. And a lot of that had to do with just losing possession right off the hop on the faceoff circle.
Yeah, I think we were 2-14 against Toronto on the man advantage or something like that. They were talking about it in yesterday's game.
It wasn't pretty. Of course, the Senators outhit the Leafs once again, but sometimes that tends to happen when you don't have the puck. So they really outhit them. It was 30-15. Obviously, Ottawa is going to be the more physical team when you're playing a team like Toronto, but a lot of that has to do with the fact that they were chasing the entire game.
Yeah, I mean, I agree that they definitely, up until the end of the third period, probably the last 5 minutes of the third, they were dominated for most of the game. I mean, early in the game, they kind of brought it to them, you know, the Paul goal kind of put them in the right foot, and then they let the, they put, they took the gas off. The foot off the pedal. And I was kind of disappointed, and I'm hoping that this is kind of more of a team, the team learning how to win or learning what they need to do to continue to win more than it is of a pattern that we're going to continue to see throughout the year.
Yeah. So, I mean, you could see even trying to keep shots to the outside in that game, they were outpossessed so badly that they were just getting exhausted. They were getting hemmed in their own zone. So even though a lot of the shots, again, from the Leafs were coming from the exterior and they were perimeter shots, eventually your box is going to break down. You can't keep everything to the outside. You're going to get rebound opportunities. And you're not attacking, so you don't have any opportunity to score a goal. So the Senators really played themselves that game, and it wasn't pretty. But ultimately, they lost by a goal. It didn't look too bad.
Yeah, I mean, if looking at Natural Stat Trick, they're a great website for beginning analytic guys. They have everything laid out, easy to follow, easy to look at. But yeah, no, Ottawa got dominated in the Corsis the entire game. They had, for the game, they were 24.82%. Again, like that, you are way below. You're almost at like a quarter of the game, you know. It's just, we just got purely dominated 5-on-5, and then the power play wasn't very good. And we kept giving Toronto chances. We cannot win games like that.
No, that is not a recipe for success. That's a recipe for basically what we've had the last three seasons. And, you know, that's kind of what it looked like. I'll be honest, after watching that game, I was a little bit worried. I was thinking, especially with some of the breakouts that the Senators had, I was a little bit worried. I was starting to look at the decor and thinking, man, maybe they're just not capable of breaking the puck out. Like, maybe this is not going to be a step forward this year whatsoever, playing in this heavy North division. But maybe it wasn't the case, and we'll get into that a little bit later. But this game certainly did not look good for the Senators.
Yeah, and I mean, you know, we're going to introduce a new segment that I did last year. We're going to bring it back. The good, the bad, the ugly. We're going to do it for each Senators game. So with that being said, what's your good, your bad, and your ugly for the Senators in the Leafs game?
I mean, the good is easy here. We have to go with Tim Stützle's first NHL goal. I mean, the puck was shot like 200 feet. I think it touched the moon. It came back down from Thomas Chabot's pass, and bam, Tim Stützle scores his first NHL goal. I was falling asleep on the couch, Shane. I was falling asleep. I was like, there's nothing happening. I'm going to turn this game off. It's horrible. I can't watch any more of it. And that woke me right back up. I shot off the couch. I screamed so loud that I lost my voice. Wow, that's the good for me. That was the only good that game.
Yeah, and I mean, hey, you talk about that goal, you know, Colin White had a really good play. Instead of dumping it around the corner, he shot it across the ice, and it kind of he made that play continue that led up to the Stützle goal. And I don't think he got credit for an assist. I think it went to Josh Norris on that goal. But his work there gave us a chance to score, and it led to a goal. For me, my good isn't Stützle's goal, even though that is really good for the organization. It's Brady Tkachuk's play. You know, he was in there, he was grinding, he was driving the play. And I know a lot of people heading into the season was, could he be a play driver? Could he drive a line by himself? And yes, Norris and Batherson have been relatively good in the eye test, and analytically they've been subpar. But Tkachuk has just driven that line greatly. And I think that was the plus for me. That was the good in that game. Seeing that even though his team was getting outplayed, he was still driving the play when he was on the ice. He was still forcing things when he was on the ice in a positive way. So that's my good.
Fair enough. And switching over to the bad in that game, there was a whole lot of bad in that game. So where are you kind of narrowing your focus for the bad in that game, Shane?
My bad was the power play. You know, you have the chances, you have five chances in the game. Those are opportunities that you need to capitalize on. You know, if we go 1-for-5 or 2-for-5 in that game, we win the game. You know, it's just those are the chances that lost us games last year, and they're going to continue so far early in the season have cost us probably, you know, have cost us points so far early in this early season. So the power play was the bad with Ottawa yesterday. How about you?
So when it pertains to the Leafs game, again, we're talking about the Toronto Maple Leafs game here first. The bad was absolutely the puck possession. You can't get out possessed like that and expect to win a game. The shots on goal were 40-19. As we said, it was really, really bad. It was a bad performance all around for the Senators.
Yeah. And it's funny that you have that as the bad, because I have that as the ugly.
See, we reversed it, but I'll get into that. Go ahead.
Yeah. Like, you can't give Toronto 40 shots without taking, you know, 30 some shots. This was, I wouldn't say it was like the most winnable game. Obviously, they were coming in angry. You know, they just lost to Ottawa. You know, they barely beat Montreal. They wanted to prove that, hey, we're still around. And they were going to come out guns blazing, and they just kind of got dominated. And I know the NHL came out, and I mentioned it during the game, that the puck just seemed to bounce on the players. And they did. If you rewatch the game, there's a lot of chances that, you know, just skip over with a stick and whatnot. Maybe you can pull an Austin Matthews and blame the puck for the lack of production, or you could just admit that, you know, we missed our opportunities and we didn't do what we had to do to win. But that, yeah, the possession game, the ability, inability to move the puck out of our zone consistently was the ugly for me in that game, because there was a lot of chances that were given up because of it.
There you go. They could probably be lumped together, but I kind of reversed my bad and ugly here, because I've got the power play as the ugly for the Senators versus the Leafs. I thought it was horrendous watching the Senators do countless drop passes to absolutely nobody moving with speed through the neutral zone. They could not enter the zone cleanly. They could not regain possession, and they couldn't muster up any quality shots on goal during the power play. They had 5 opportunities. They went 0 for 5. The faceoffs were a huge problem. It was a big problem for the Senators, but oh boy, did they ever fix that, those problems quickly. And we'll get into that later. But for this game, that was the ugly for me.
Oh yeah, 100%. That will always be, you know, the bottom of the barrel for me. Power play has always been an issue. You know, Matt Murray has looked good. Before we move on to the Jets game, Matt Murray has looked good. A couple of shots where you can't really fault him. You know, the seeing eye shot that kind of beat him up. Like, there are certain goals where you look at him like, okay, you know, give him the benefit of the doubt. He's been solid, but I don't think he's been like he's made the saves, but I feel like there's some saves that he could have made that may have changed the game. But, you know,
he's been very good, maybe not great.
Yeah, I mean, and this is the thing, the Thornton goal where he gets beat short side. You have Austin Matthews on the other side. Thornton is a known playmaker. So you do have to cheat a little bit to Matthews' side. You do have to play the pass more than the shot. Thornton made a great decision, but that's another goal given up that where Murray was caught cheating. He got caught cheating against Tavares in the first game. He didn't get caught cheating in the Jets game, thankfully. But overall, Matt Murray's performance has been good for the first 3 games. But with that being said, we're going to jump into the game that everyone wants to talk about. The Winnipeg Jets, first game of the year. Ottawa dominates for, I don't know, 15 minutes of each period. Last 5 minutes of every period, they seem to give up a goal. I don't even know what to begin. Like, I was so mad at DJ Smith after yesterday's game. This loss, in my opinion, is all on DJ Smith being outcoached by himself.
You know what? He quoted young mistakes after the game, costing them the game. Do you want me to read you the lineup that was on for the game tying goal?
Wasn't it Tierney? Let me guess. I know it was Zaitsev, Coburn on defense.
Correct.
Pretty sure it was Connor Brown, Chris Tierney, and Cedric Paquette that were the forwards on the tying goal.
That is correct. That was your lineup on the ice. That's your young mistakes. Maybe he was quoting the penalty that happened that cost them the second goal. And guess who took that penalty? Austin Watson. I'll give him credit. It was a very weak call. It was a little chop on the pants. And if you watch it in slow-mo, Scheifele kind of dives a little bit. It didn't look too good on his part. But you cannot take a penalty like that in the neutral zone. A game you're leading 3-1. Heading into the latter stages of the third period, and you take a costly penalty. Those are the penalties that you want to avoid if you're Austin Watson.
Yeah, and I mean, I will agree that I think there was 3 calls, 4 calls against Ottawa. There was 3 hookings, and I think I may only agree with one, and that was like the Chris Tierney hook, and that was borderline. 2 very weak calls. Oh, you know what I realized we didn't talk about, and I think it's probably a good idea that we didn't talk about? Muzzin's cross-check on Stützle against the last Toronto game that kept Stützle out of the Winnipeg game.
And I mean, potentially. We don't know if that's what hurt him, but...
We think it is. But on the other end, we got to see Galchenyuk. And oh man, did he have a game. And oh man, are people pissed that he had 3 shifts in the third period.
He did not play past the 10:59 mark of the third period. That was it.
Yeah, like
he essentially got benched. He was their best player on the ice all game, and he got benched in the third period.
I don't get it. I really don't understand where DJ Smith, like, maybe he doesn't trust him to hold a lead. I don't know.
And again, he made a quote after the game that suggested the team should be focusing on defensive play to protect a lead in the third period. What's the best defense, Shane?
You keep it in the other teams. Why are guys like Nick Paul, Chris Tierney, and Connor Brown, who have been dominated most of the game by the Scheifele line, out there more often 5-on-5 than the three players who got you 20 shots on net the entire game? You had 41 shots on net, and 20 of them came from Tkachuk, Batherson, Norris. They go; those three were buzzing. I don't even like. As much as I'm annoyed that Galchenyuk got benched, why is your third line playing more than your first line when your first line has been dominating the entire game?
Yeah, and he's trying to play shut down and trying to coach a certain way, but the best way to shut a team down is to play with the puck in the opposing end. If you can play offense rather than playing on your heels, which is going to exhaust you over the course of a season, it's going to exhaust you over the course of your shift, why would you not play in the other team's end if you know you can go out there and dominate? And that's what the Galchenyuk, Stepan, and Dadonov line did all night. That's what Norris, Tkachuk, Batherson did all night. But no, DJ Smith is upset that his team chose to play offensively in the third period. And that's not what cost the team, DJ. It was your decision-making.
Like I went back and watched Galchenyuk's last three plays, like his last three shifts. He set up Dadonov on the power play. Beautiful cross-ice pass, like through the center of the ice, like beautiful pass. He had a shot on goal. He missed. Whatever, it happens. On all three shifts, he had scoring chances. I don't know what more you want from a guy. I don't know if he said something or maybe he made a bad play. Well, what I see, he didn't do anything bad. If he's not in the game on Thursday and Paquette, if I don't see White and Galchenyuk in the game on Thursday, and you know there's Paquette and Anisimov and Coburn, I'm going to lose my absolute mind. Because
a lot of people are there with you. Everyone noticed how good Galchenyuk was this game.
Like, people are saying that, oh, you're overreacting. It's not an overreaction if you've been preaching accountability for the last season and the last two seasons.
You know what, Shane? He got a free pass. So DJ Smith, we can all agree he got a free pass last year. It was just kind of getting acquainted to the new team, trying to teach good habits and good work ethic. And the players really like him. You know, from what we hear, he's a player's coach. He's, you know, very approachable. He's very detail oriented when he's talking about parts of the game. Players like him. But this year, now all of a sudden, you're looking at this North Division and who had a bad start? Edmonton's had a pathetic start. Vancouver's had probably an equally pathetic start. And the Winnipeg Jets have had a bad start. And now all of a sudden, you're seeing opportunity for the Ottawa Senators. If they play as good as they played last night, and they're capable of doing that consistently, they have an opportunity this year to compete.
I mean, again, I've been saying it. Edmonton is getting destroyed by lack of depth, relying too much on Drysdale and McDavid and horrible goaltending. Vancouver's depth, I've talked about this before the season. You can go back and watch the episodes or listen to the episodes. Vancouver's depth is not there. Winnipeg is relying too much on Hellebuck. They're a top line heavy team. Like that Scheifele line, the Scheifele Wheeler Connor line dominated whenever they were on the ice against the third line against Ottawa. But lines 2 through 4 were dominated by Ottawa.
And the blue line isn't great in Winnipeg either.
No, it's not. And you throw 41 shots on Bersois, you need to score. You scored 3 goals. So that should be enough. Realistically, scoring 3 goals should be enough in today's NHL to win you a game. But the fact is, you had chances. You couldn't capitalize. It is what it is. It's going to happen game to game. But the way they lost this game is unacceptable. The fact that they had Anisimov on a 3-on-3 overtime. In what world? And I've been a huge supporter of Anisimov. In what world do you put Anisimov in a 3-on-3 overtime over a guy like Galchenyuk?
It makes absolutely no sense. I mean, it really, I can't make sense of that. And if Anisimov does not come out of this next game, like you mentioned, there's going to be some problems. Like we're starting to enter the Tom Pyatt for Guy Boucher era. And if that's what DJ Smith becomes, he becomes one of those reluctant, hard-nosed coaches that just refuses to give up on the players that he likes for whatever reason, we're going to have problems, and we're going to have problems quickly.
Yeah, and I mean, here's the thing. I know people are saying, you know, overreacting, but we've seen this story before. The last thing we need is Anisimov and Paquette turning into Piatt and Dumont 2.0. That's literally the last thing this team needs. We don't need those guys in the lineup every game. I don't really – statistically, analytically, you know, even at the eye test, Paquette doesn't bring much to the table to help us win a game. Great. He's great on the penalty kill. We've allowed a penalty – like a power play goal – in each of the first three games. So realistically, how much is that helping? And he doesn't bring anything offensively. Galchenyuk already has more goals than Paquette. Galchenyuk has more goals than Anisimov. Why is Anisimov on the first power, like on the second power play unit? Why is it that Nick Paul or Chris Tierney or, you know,
I would go Paul for sure. Nick Paul earned that opportunity. He's looked great.
Like, I don't understand. I also don't understand the team's willingness or unwillingness to have skilled players in their bottom six. You put it, if you put Galchenyuk, White, and Watson, who has actually probably been the only bright spot of that fourth line through the first three games, they're going to be able to defend and give you offense, which is what you want now. You don't want a fourth line who are full of scrubs. This isn't 2005 where the fourth line was the goon line. That's not how it works anymore.
No doubt. And personally, what I want to see over time here is either one of Stützle or Galchenyuk slide to the middle, because I think if you could produce a top six that has these two together, so let's say, for example, we keep the top line intact because they're working really, really well together. And that second unit becomes either Stützle, Galchenyuk, and Dadonov, or Galchenyuk, Stützle, and Dadonov. That is a potent top six. I mean, that would ultimately, that's what I want to see at some point this season. I hope it's tried out, because Galchenyuk, he hasn't played center for a few years, but I could see some capabilities there.
Yeah, and I mean, I think we need to remember that this isn't a Duclair situation with, like, to a certain extent. Galchenyuk played 6 years in Montreal, getting destroyed by horrible coaching, couldn't figure out if they wanted him as a center or a winger, and completely ruined the guy. It wasn't until the last like 3 years where he's bounced around. So we need to give him a little bit of credit over, you know, his travel, like his miles. Like, we just need to, honestly, this is the thing about, like, the same thing goes with Galchenyuk that it goes with Zaitsev. Give him a role that he fits in and don't try to change it. Let Galchenyuk go out there and do Galchenyuk things. There's a reason why he had, you know, 30 goal season, and, you know, had outside of last season had 19 goals in back-to-back years. So
and on the very first shift of the game, where do your eyes go? I mean, Galchenyuk beats his man along the boards. He out-muscles him, keeps possession of the puck, and drives straight to the net for a great opportunity. He almost scored right off the hop.
Yeah, like, Galchenyuk needs to be in the lineup on Thursday. You know, if that means you take out, if Stützle, you let him sit for another game, make sure he's 110% healthy. I don't think anyone's going to really mind, because, you know, you don't want to rush a player who's not 100% healthy. But if Anisimov and Paquette are both in the lineup, I'm going to lose my mind, because they're not helping this team win.
Yeah, we've touched on so many negatives in this game, and it's a shame, because it was a great game. In fact, it was probably the best Sens game from a sheer dominance perspective that I've seen them play in this new era with the new young players. Like, this game was truly a game that they were driving the bus. They weren't passengers in this game. They were taking it to the Jets, and if that's what they're capable of, and I get it, the Jets were on a back-to-back. They're missing line A. Let's give it more time and see if the Senators can play like this consistently. But if they can, then this season all of a sudden becomes a season where you can compete, and we can judge DJ Smith. But let's talk about some of the positives from this game, Shane, because there was a ton of positives. What do you think?
I mean, Josh Norris is the big positive. You know, looked better in the draws, looked better being the center on that top line. Gets his first goal on the power play. I like Josh Norris, Batherson. Like, that top line is all positives in last game. They had a Corsi rating of like 93.15% yesterday against the Jets. Like, that top line could honestly become like a pizza line 2.0 in the next year or so.
Batherson's playmaking abilities is way better than I thought it was. And it's way better than it was last season. He's making some subtle touch passes. He's making some soft passes. He's creating opportunities for his entire line. To me, he's driving that line. Drake Batherson has made his teammates look really, really good on that line. He could be a star player in the making.
Yeah, and I mean, it's not just his playmate. Like, he's picking people off. Like, there are like Mark Stone kind of takeaways that he's doing and generating offense off of it. And if he can continue this confidence, and people mention like, oh, this is the AHL Batherson. We just need to keep that kind of Batherson in check, and hopefully it starts producing goals.
Yeah, I think he's playing exactly what you said. He's playing exactly how he played in the American Hockey League. And he has the foot speed now. He has the mental speed and the motor to keep up to the NHL. And it's just a matter of time before this guy explodes offensively. And it will be this season. I mean, you could just see it. He's not going to fail this season. Batherson is going to have a breakout season. There's no question in my mind.
As we got this question for Jesse Pagnin. My bad if I mispronounced that last name. What are our thoughts on the play of Murray so far this year? We touched on it earlier in the episode, but we'll bring it up because someone asked. I'm okay with it. I like it. Not great, but good. I'd give him a solid like 7 out of 10 right now.
In that specifically in that second Leaf game where Ottawa got dominated, Murray was the reason that that game was 3-2. That the Senators had a chance at the end of the game to come back and tie the game. He's made most of the saves that you expect him to make. Yes, there's been a couple that you could say maybe he was playing a little deep in his net, or maybe he was anticipating a pass across, so he was cheating a little bit off to the one side. Overall, I would say I've been impressed with Matt Murray. I think he's been good. As you mentioned, Shane, good, not great. There's a few times where if he made a key save kind of late, like last night, I know it was a deflected puck, but if he was just playing a little bit higher in the crease, that's a shot that probably just hits his body and goes off to the corner. It might have ended up in a rebound goal anyway, but there's been a few of those. But overall, I can't fault Matt Murray for anything so far this season. Good start to the season for the Senators.
Yeah, and I mean, hopefully, I would not be surprised if we do see Matt Murray again on Thursday night. Probably a Matt Murray versus Hellebuck situation. Personally, I would have given Hogberg the game yesterday against Brisbois, but hopefully we see Hogberg at some point. I do want to see what he can do. I'm not surprised they're riding Murray, but yeah, agreed. Like, he's been good, not great, need a little bit more from him. So hopefully we'll see that whenever he's back in net. But another positive that I think we need to talk about, Nikita Zaitsev. 4 points, 3 games, all 4 assists. Man, where is this coming from? He looks so confident in the offensive zone now, going down the hat, like pinching, moving the puck down the boards. Like, and not just passing it around the boards. Like, he's skating down, generating chances. What do you think happened? Where do you think this is coming from?
You know, it's funny because heading into the game, everyone was so excited about the analytic numbers of the pairing of Shabbat and Zaitsev, and then right away Shabbat's back with Gudbranson. So it was like, okay, I guess they're not going with Shabbat and Zaitsev any longer. But whatever, Zaitsev was able to do it on his own. Kind of, he was good in that game again. Another positive game for Nikita Zaitsev, and we're starting to see positive games strung together. I think it's a matter of confidence. I don't know that maybe he's physically in a better spot than he was last year. Maybe he's not. But to me, it's a matter of confidence. He does seem to be chipping in more offensively. Maybe it's a matter of DJ approaching him, as you suggested, and saying, you know what, you just need to play your game. Don't worry about, you know, focusing on other people's games or benefiting their game. We just want to see you play your style and play your game. But through the first few games here of the regular season, Zaitsev does look like a rejuvenated player. He's kind of redefining what people think of him so far, and it is really early, so we do need to be weary of that. He could, in fact, return to the Nikita Zaitsev that we saw last season. But so far, so good for Zaitsev. He's leading the team, I think, with 4 points, or at least tied with Brady Tkachuk for 4 points.
Yeah, I don't know. I think Tkachuk got a point the other night versus the Jets. I think he got an assist on the Norris goal. I might be mistaken.
Actually, no. They gave it to Dadanov. And so, no. So there you go. Nikita Zaitsev is the lone points leader for the Ottawa Senators with 4 points
season. Here's a little off topic. If you're going to tell, here's the thing. Zaitsev is leading the team in points for the Sens. Mm-hmm. You know who's leading the league in goals right now? Bobby fucking Ryan.
Yeah, let's go, Bobby. I mean, what a great story, first off, Bobby Ryan is. It's just such a good feeling. Look at all those Ryan jerseys back there. You know Shane's a big fan. I'm a big fan of Bobby the person to himself. What a good guy. It's great seeing these good people who have battled adversity like Bobby has, battling a few things getting in his way. And coming out on top, 4 goals in 3 games for Bobby Ryan with the Detroit Red Wings. Who would have thought to start the year Bobby Ryan would be leading the NHL in goals? What a story.
Yeah, and I mean, here's the thing. As much as I would love Bobby to be in Ottawa, I'm so happy he's in Detroit getting a top six opportunity, and it's paying off. Playing in the second line with Filip Zadina and I think it was Robbie Fabry to start the year, but he's in COVID. So it was Rasmussen the last couple of games. He's been helping drive that play. He gets to play with a guy that everyone wanted to in Ottawa and Zadina in the original draft when the draft happened. But, man, it's so much fun watching Bobby play. It's ridiculous. He looks so rejuvenated. And, I mean, hey, that 54 that he's rocking, beautiful. That was his rookie number, his first couple of games in Anaheim. He's back wearing it with Detroit. It's my next jersey on the to get list. I am over the moon.
And he's looking like rookie Bobby Ryan. Remember how he just exploded onto the scene? Like, I remember one particular game for the Ducks. He came in and he scored a hat trick, and they were all beautiful goals. Like, Bobby Ryan is looking like the Bobby Ryan of old, and it's a beautiful thing.
He looks like a healthy Bobby Ryan.
Yeah.
And as much as I would have loved to seen a healthy Bobby Ryan in Ottawa, I understand that it was time to move on and give him a fresh start and give us a fresh start. Because let's say he doesn't have this boom in Detroit. Let's say he's, it doesn't have a single point. Detroit doesn't have a single win. They are, he's like minus, six. He's having a horrible year. People will look at that and be like, oh, good thing we got rid of Bobby. He hasn't, he's washed. Hmm. So, yeah, he's had a really good start, which is great. But for some perspective on it, if it was the other way around, people would have been super happy that we got rid of Bobby Ryan. So, yeah, he's producing. It would have been great if he did it in an Ottawa jersey this year. But if he wasn't producing, you would have been most people would have been happy that he wasn't in Ottawa being paid $7 million.
And you know what? Like, there's just no opportunity this year in Ottawa. We could see it with Galchenyuk. Like, you're honestly talking about scratching a player that should not be scratched in this league. Like, he is clearly one of the best offensive weapons that you have. So if Bobby was on the team this year, I have no doubt in my mind he would be a healthy scratch a lot of games this season.
Yeah, and I mean, it's unfortunate. And so I'm happy he's in with Detroit. But going back to the Zaitsev thing, and I found this number, 3 games so far, 5-on-5, Nikita Zaitsev is our best Corsi defenseman at 54.32%. He's played a minute and a half less at 5-on-5 than Brady Tkachuk, but has done better with his Corsi 4 than Brady Tkachuk. Like, if you were to tell me, like, I know it's three games, and obviously it's a, you know, there's still 53 more games, and we'll probably look at this almost every episode. But, man, who would have thought? Is early preseason, if he continues this, is Zaitsev a Norris candidate?
if he continues putting points up while he's producing analytical numbers that look like that and being solid defensively, why not? But, I mean, what a switch that's flipped. I mean, it really is crazy. If you told me this going into the season, I would have called you an absolute lunatic. I would have called you crazy and said, there's no way that's going to happen, Cleo. It's not going to happen. But Nikita Zaitsev, man, what a start to the year for him. It's a, another feel-good story, potentially, Shane.
Yeah, and I mean, hey, we know it's early in the year. And yeah, maybe we should pump brakes talking about playoffs and a Norris Trophy for Zaitsev. But man, it's just something to get excited about.
We finally have what looks like a team that's capable of winning some games. It really does look like a team that could take some huge steps forward this year. I know it's a shortened season, but no one's expecting anything other than seventh in this division. It's a really strong division, but early on, we're seeing teams struggle that, in my mind, Ottawa is right there with. Like, they could easily finish ahead of the Edmonton Oilers if the Oilers continue to have these goaltending and depth problems. The Vancouver Canucks, they lost their depth. You said it in the offseason. So it was a little bit expected, but they weren't expected to be this bad to start. I do have a feeling they'll rebound from that. But if the Senators can play, again, if they could play as good as they played last night against the Jets, 9 times out of 10, that's going to result in a win.
Yeah, 100% agree with you. And, you know, hopefully it's a learning lesson for them and they look at it and be like, oh, you know, we could have done more. Also, I'm just going to leave this here real quick. I had Ottawa finishing ahead of Oilers and the Canucks. And if that happens, yeah, I.
Oh, man. Yeah, looking back on your standings, holy crap. I mean, that is basically resembling the start of the season right now. You got Calgary, Toronto, and Montreal all playing really, really strong in this division. And they are clearly looking like the strongest teams. Edmonton and Vancouver looking like the bottom teams. And then the Jets and the Senators in that middle ground competing for that final playoff spot. And if all reigns true, Shane, you're going to look like some kind of genius when everyone before that was calling your list. I don't know what they were calling your list, but I know a lot of people probably agreed more with my list. I went with more of a conventional, like, this is what, you know, people are expecting out of this season.
Yeah, I don't do conventional. I never have. I will always take the higher takes or the hot takes. But, man, if this holds up, I am going to rub it. I don't even care that we missed the playoffs. Like, I don't even care about that. But if we do not finish last, if we finish fifth, I am going to rub it in so many people's faces in the network. And I'm just going to be like, yo, I'm going to post that picture everywhere and just be like, I told you so.
This man, it's early, but if the standings hold true, they could very well look like that by the end of the season.
Hey, we play Vancouver next week 4 times. There is a chance that if we win that series, Vancouver, we separate. That's 16-point swing.
Yeah.
If we can win every game in regular, and I mean, that's asking a lot, right? Winning 4 in a row or 5 in a row, depending on what we do with Winnipeg. It's a lot to do. But if we could sweep that 4-game series, that's a 16-point swing. You know, that's huge, considering we only played them like 9 times. We only need to win one more and we win the series. Like, next series for Vancouver, like for Ottawa Vancouver, is going to be huge for the rest of the year.
Absolutely. And before we get way ahead of ourselves and start talking about playoffs and start talking about this stuff, we do have a game tomorrow night against the Winnipeg Jets. Once again, we're going to see a better Jets team. You know, most likely Line A is going to be back. We're going to see Connor Hellebuck in net. So what are you expecting out of Thursday? And how do you think DJ Smith and the Senators are going to respond to that disappointing loss?
Hey, honestly, you just have to go there and play like you did the first, you know, 15 minutes of each period outside of the last like 10 minutes of the third period. Like, you dominated early in the game. You just have to pick up. And it's the same thing with the Toronto games. Like, it was just a late period cover, like blows, like that's all they have to go in there, finish the late period stuff, fix that. I don't think they're on the ice tonight. I think it's a day off, so we won't really get to see what the lines will look like until Thursday morning at the morning skate, if there is one. But yeah, I just have to fix that last, like the last 5 minutes, and come out strong like you did. You're most likely facing Hellebuyck. You just got to be strong. Just got to play fast, play to your game. That's it.
Yeah, and I'll be honest, I watched the Jets and Leafs game prior to Ottawa playing them, just to, you know, sort of eye up some competition. And it was as heavily dominated by the Leafs as it was by the Senators. So I know we're saying the Jets were in a back-to-back situation against the Sens, but they weren't versus the Leafs, and they looked equally bad. They didn't possess the puck nearly enough, and the Leafs pretty well dominated the game the same way they dominated against Ottawa. So it isn't necessarily just a back-to-back thing for the Jets, but I do expect the Jets to attack a lot more. I expect them to be a lot better offensively. So we will get a look at how the Senators are going to respond to that, and to see if they have any pushback. I would expect Tim Stützle to be back in the lineup. But now the question becomes who comes out. For me, it's an easy decision as well. But you know that DJ Smith is kind of set on separating guys based on their role, because you know that he has Galchenyuk and Stützle probably slotted in that same offensive category, and guys like Paquette and Anisimov are probably quote-unquote defensive category guys. So let's see how flexible DJ Smith's thinking is going into this game. Is he capable of putting someone like Galchenyuk in a third-line energizer role versus a guy like Paquette?
Well, like, so when they asked him about Galchenyuk playing on the second line, his response was, you know, it was just the easiest choice to do. He didn't want to disrupt any other lines. Your bottom six got destroyed yesterday. You know, as I've been one of the advocates of, oh, don't change that third line. They've been really good. They got dominated by the Scheifele line. And it's most likely going to happen again tonight. And you've got the second pairing. If Line A is back of like Ehlers, Line A and Stasny, I would not be surprised to see lines 2 through 4 shaken up heading into Thursday's game. I don't see that first line being touched. If Stützle is in there, you probably put him in and you don't touch the second line. But I would not be surprised to see a third and fourth line kind of get mixed up. You could probably put White and Galchenyuk in there, give them a third line role, put Tierney and Paul on a fourth line role. Who knows? So I would not be surprised to see him switch up the lines for Thursdays.
Absolutely. So let's get into it. The good, the bad, and the ugly from last night's Winnipeg Jets loss in overtime 4-3. Shane, the good. Give us the goods.
The power play, honestly. Yeah, I think they only had one power play goal, but it's all power plays were effective. I didn't look at a power play, any of their power play opportunities to be like, oh, this was a wasted opportunity. There was chances generated. They had shots on goal. Even though they weren't counted, they had misses. They had chances. That's all you can really ask for with a team that struggled in the first two games on the power play. So for me, the power play went from the bad to the good, from the Leafs game to the Jets game.
Yeah. For me, there was so many goods that it really is hard to identify one. I'm going to jump on board and agree with you, because I think the power play going from dramatically bad against the Leafs, and it was really bad, to being so good. Just the zone entries were crisp. They were perfect. They still utilized the drop pass, but they were actually hitting the line with speed. And you could see they added a few more layers. There was an additional pass before entering the line. I noticed off the drop. They made an additional pass to a guy on the wing standing on the blue line, and they were entering the zone relatively easy, very smoothly. And when they're in the zone, the puck movement went from stagnant, nobody moving, nobody seeming to want to move the puck, to both units moving the puck exceptionally well. There was a lot of touch passes. There was a lot of no-look passes. You could see Dadonov shifting to his comfortable position in that bumper spot. Just before Josh Norris scored that first goal, Dadonov almost got one off from that bumper spot that we've seen him do in Florida. a lot of good signs last night from the Senators. There was a lot of good in that game. The power play was the best of it.
Yeah, because, like, I don't even know how to explain it, but that they won the draw, too. And that was a huge thing. Like, they kept winning draws on the power play to set them up properly to get their cycle going, and that was an important thing. But moving on to the bad, for me, the bad was the penalty killing. I think it was, what, 2 power play goals given up?
I believe it was just one.
Just the one. But they still kind of ran all over the place. Like, they don't have, like, their penalty kill doesn't seem like it's the crispest right now. Again, third straight game with a power play goal. Not ideal if you're trying to win games. The penalty kill was just the worst. Like, it was worse than the Leafs game, and that's saying a lot.
And the bad for me, I'm going to relate it to the power play because it was the one. It led to the one power play goal that the Jets scored, and that's the penalty in the neutral zone taken by Austin Watson. He had no business slashing Mark Scheifele coming through the neutral zone. It was a relatively basic play that was not going to lead to anything substantial coming through the neutral zone with the puck. Scheifele even kind of bobbled the puck anyway, and yet he took a very costly slashing penalty that led to the second Jets goal and put them within one against the Senators.
Yeah, and for me, the ugly is the last 5 minutes of the game. You know, that was just horrible decision making. They couldn't clear the puck. They couldn't even get a hold of the puck. Like, they just stood there. They let Winnipeg just kind of pass the puck around, thinking that, oh, you know, maybe if we just, you know, keep the puck away, they're going to they're just not going to take a shot, and that wasn't the case.
Yeah, it was a very passive box, and there was no gap control. So, you know, Morrissey was wide open for that shot that he took from the point because the gap control was just horrendous. It looked like they were just standing in their box formation, and they didn't want to give it up, and they were just crowding the front of their own net. It was not how you want to defend a lead with an empty net. There is no sort of attack whatsoever. To me, the ugly, we touched on it basically all show, but it falls on DJ Smith's comments after the game. I'm not going to focus too hard on the decisions he made in the game, but to me, the biggest problem I had was the comments that he made after the game, calling these mistakes young mistakes, and also saying that he wanted his team to play more defensively versus offensively. To me, that makes no sense. Some of what he said made no sense, and he did not take any credibility for that loss. What I want to see from DJ Smith is to realize, you know, have a night to sleep on it and realize the responsibility that he had in that loss. And that, to me, would buy him back some respect right now, because it's early, as you said, and we're not writing DJ Smith off as a coach by any means. I'm still excited for DJ Smith being the coach, and I really hope he can rebound from this. But I hope it comes as a learning experience, because we've seen the stubbornness that cost Guy Boucher his job in Ottawa, and it lasted for far too long. And we know how much Pierre Dorion likes DJ Smith, because he talks about it every opportunity. So to me, that's the ugly. It's DJ Smith. He has to recognize that he had some responsibility. And you want to talk about young mistakes? Well, DJ is a coach now for just over a year in the NHL, and the biggest young mistake was coaching.
Yeah, 100%. And, you know, we still have a little bit of time to go for the episode. We're going to take a quick break. We've been kind of on a rant for the last 50 minutes. We're going to take a quick break, hear a word from the Bar Dan about their 100th episode. And when we come back, we'll wrap it up. We'll talk a little bit more of what to expect Thursday and Saturday against the Jets. And we will talk a little bit about our top performers of the early season, the first 3 games so far. So we'll be right back. Thank you all for tuning in on YouTube, Twitter. Remember, follow us and whatnot. We'll be right back.
What is up, everybody? Mikey CLT here from Bar Down Breakdown, letting you know that our 100th episode is going to be dropping exclusively on the Hockey Podcast Network on January 27th. We will be joined by special guest Derek from the amazing pop punk band State Champs. Make sure you subscribe and follow us on all our socials so you do not miss any of our amazing episodes. We are so pumped that we have made it to episode 100. And to thank you, we are running an Instagram contest where one lucky winner can win a Steez brand snapback hat. So head over to our Instagram and enter our contest. Also, if you are just hearing about Bar Down Breakdown, make sure you go and check out our 99 other episodes where we have had artists who have been nominated for Grammys, all the way down to artists who are unsigned, where we dive into the crossover between alternative music and hockey. So make sure you go and check out Bar Down Breakdown wherever you listen to podcasts, brought to you exclusively by the Hockey Podcast Network.
And there you have it, 100th episode for Bar Down. Congratulations to them on that. And before we went to break, we got this question in from one of the viewers, Hanche, of how did our bottom six get dominated when the overall sense was dominated the whole game? We touched on it earlier in the episode, but to kind of recap that quickly, it was just more of the Kachar or the Tierney Brown Paul line was lined up against the Scheifele line, and they just, you watch it, and they played a lot of time in their own zone. They had opportunities in their defensive end, in the offensive zone, but overall through the game, the bottom six played way too much time in Ottawa's own zone, while the top six played most of the time in the offensive zone. And that's basically how, in our opinion, the bottom six were dominated throughout the game.
Yeah, I would say that the Senators had three good lines going and the Jets had one. So if you want to talk about from an overall sense how Ottawa dominated, that would be it. And the one line that struggled is the line that you mentioned. And it was specifically matched against the Jets' number one line, but they did struggle.
Yeah, I mean, to be fair, like that top line for Winnipeg is probably one of the better top lines in the NHL. But when, you know, at some point, DJ Smith needs to abandon this shift match thing that he was going with and put out your best players, which would have been our top six. But before that, before we continue with that, the Jets game on Thursday has a huge momentum shift. We play them in Winnipeg on Saturday, first of seven on the road. If we can win this game in regulation, hopefully, we are still in a playoff spot. We're at 3 points in three games, which I think is better than anyone expected us to be. We got a win in our home opener. If we can get this win on Thursday, is that if you're a player for the team, you're looking at the standings, you're looking at the way the rest of the division has been playing, and it's just a huge confidence boost, especially after coming off such a demoralizing loss.
Absolutely. And this is one where, you know, we talked about it. The Jets are going to be better in this next game. Unquestionable, they will be better. They're going to bring a much better game. And I just wanted to mention quickly, because apparently the Senators are practicing right now.
Oh.
So coming in from Brent Wallace, this is some positive news. Because if you've been listening to the show, we've been talking about DJ's reluctance to scratch Artem Anisimov. Anisimov is skating wearing a gray jersey this morning.
Sweet.
Tim Stützle is not on the ice for practice.
Okay,
so Galchenyuk remains in his spot. Colin White will draw into the lineup. And currently Colin White is he's on the fourth line with Paquette and Watson. Of course, Paul Tierney Brown still intact and the top line still intact.
Which, I mean, hey, I'm totally okay with that. I mean, it kind of ruins our first half of the episode. But that's fine. That's totally fine by us. But honestly, I'm super excited. Schlappick's in the lineup. So Schlappick was recalled.
Schlappick was recalled due to Tim Stützle, you know, having that minor injury, whatever it may be. I happen to think it's just his hand that hasn't fully recovered, because I did see it being wrapped up even at the NHL level. But it could also have been that play, that cheap shot by Muzzin in front of the net. causing his injury, whatever it is, he may be out another game, but it may also be a game time decision. And we hope that Galchenyuk isn't the guy coming out for Stützle.
So apparently Schlappick is in a white jersey.
Oh.
38 minutes ago, Schlappick is taking part in practice this morning. He's wearing a gray jersey. 34 minutes ago, Schlappick is toying with my emotions as he's wearing, as he's just changed to a white jersey. And this is from Brett Wallace. The lines, though, he's on.
He's on the fifth line, is he?
He's on the fifth line, but it could be the fact that he hasn't made a decision on if Schlappick or Paquette are going to play tomorrow.
Right. Yeah, so it's premature, but yeah, the Senators are in fact practicing today. So there you go. We're seeing some of the line combinations come in live, and it is looking a little bit better than what we had last night. So some positive news. It would be great to see Colin White draw into the lineup. He didn't have a good game against the Leafs whatsoever. He had a good first shift. I thought he looked energized, and then after that, I think he had like 10% Corsi numbers on the night. It was not a good night for Colin White, but he wasn't playing with prominent line mates either.
No, and I mean, hopefully, obviously we'll have more of an indication tomorrow during morning skate of what the lineups are going to look like, but hopefully we see Colin White in tomorrow's game. Like we've talked about constantly, is like he needs a chance to perform. It's kind of hard because Derek Stefan has been our best center, like analytically and on the eye test. We both talked about it after the Leafs game on Twitter. Josh Norris got physically dominated in the draws.
Yeah.
He kind of turned it against Winnipeg. It could just be a thing of, you know, the Winnipeg centers aren't that great. He got the matchups. I'm really excited to see this team on Tuesday night or on Saturday night, their first road game for the season. We'll really get to see what this team is made of because they won't have the matchups that they've had the last four games. But honestly, great news for Sens fans. You don't have to deal with, hopefully, Nesimov and Paquette are out of the lineup next game.
Yeah, absolutely. I think, you know, that would be something that we're all kind of hoping for here after that tough loss with Nesimov, of course, playing in that 3-on-3. No business being on the ice in a 3-on-3 whatsoever.
Yeah, and I mean, I want to know, Brent Wallace only released the lines for the forwards, nothing yet on the defensemen. So who knows what we could be seeing if we're going to see Willanen back into the lineup on Thursday. But what do you think we'll see the red jerseys on Thursday? They've had a history of wearing their alternate jerseys on Thursday night home games. I wonder if it continues tomorrow night with the reverse retro.
Yeah, I honestly, I think that's the perfect time to enter. We've seen now three home games with the black. I think it's time to debut those beautiful, bold reds. And I've got to say, I'm so impressed with the Senators' new look. Like, it just is the most eye-catching look in the NHL for me. It brings back many good memories. It does it all for me. It just does it for me. I want to see the bold red as well because it does look really, really sharp as well. But I'm loving the new uniforms.
Yeah, and this just in from TSN 1200. Since spending a good amount of time today working on power play entries and setup, which is another great news for Sens fans.
Well, it was so good. It was so different last game. The puck movement was crisp. It was clean. You could see that guys are kind of understanding where they should be now. Like the game against the Leafs, they inexplicably had Dadonov playing below the goal line, kind of back door, and that's not his area of strength. That's just not his spot. So I'm glad they moved him up to the high slot last game, and they had him in that bumper position. They had Norris playing the opposite position below the goal line. It just looked like a much better power play. It looked night and day from the Leafs game to the Jets game. If they continue to work on that power play, I think this power play has an opportunity to probably be one of the better power plays in the North Division.
Yeah, and I mean, it's just a matter of getting comfortable with everyone. Dadonov looked good, but who are your three stars of the first three games so far this season? Who would you pick as your three stars?
You know what? I wanted to say Galchenyuk, but we've only seen one game, so it would be unfair to include him in there. So I'm going to go with number one, I'm going to go with Drake Batherson. I think Drake Batherson, the changes that Batherson's made during the offseason have been notable. He looks now like a comfortable NHL-ready player, and he looks like a player who's ready to make a big impact at the NHL level. So number one, first and foremost, Drake Batherson. Number two, I've been impressed with Brady Tkachuk. I mean, we're expecting big things out of Brady Tkachuk this season. He brings it every game, so it was kind of expected, but I don't want to discount him from the top three because he has been that good. And my third player on the list, you know what? I'm going to give it to Tim Stützle. He's only played two games, but you could just see what's about to happen. So with Tim Stützle, you could see it. He gets better shift by shift, and the amount of time that he's growing, like, it's just kind of mind-blowing how quickly his game is growing and growing and growing. And I'm telling you, he is going to be a star player this season.
Oh, I 100% agree on that. I don't think I have a single one of your top three in my top three.
That's good.
So number one, I'm going Derek Stefan. And okay. I know he hasn't put up any of the points. I think he only has like 2 points in the three games. He's a goal and assist. But he has brought exactly what we've expected. He's been a stabilizing force in our center, down the middle, in our forward group, has been analytically and on the eye test one of our most consistent forwards in the top six. Yeah, he had a bad game against Toronto when he went like 2 for 14 in the draws. First game, he was 10 for 14. Like, I just love everything that Stefan has brought to us. He's good on the second power play unit. So I have him at number one. I think he has been, he was worth the pick that we traded for him.
Fair enough.
Number two, it's Nikita Zaitsev. And that's honestly just because he's 4 points in three games, has been very good defensively, hasn't made many mistakes outside of that like missed pass that led to a scoring chance. I think in the first or second game, he's been relatively conservative but smart in his own zone. Like, Shabbat has more giveaways right now than Zaitsev. So he's at number two. Number three, I'm going Nick Paul. You know, even yesterday, he didn't play the greatest game, but he was still a force. Like, he still had a good game. And I don't think he was a problem on the third line. I think the fact that he just got matched up with faster guys. But overall, like, he's shown that he can be a top nine forward in this league right now.
Yeah, with glimpses of top six caliber play in there as well for Nick Paul. I would give Nick Paul my honorable mention, probably Zaitsev as well. I like a couple of players that you picked. I went for more of an offensive look, I guess, for my top three, but the guys that you mentioned, I can't disagree with either. The fact is, it's a good thing, but there's been a number of Senators that have been impressive so far. We could have given Matt Murray, you know, the same honors, just being that he had such a tough season last year. And it, by all accounts, it looks like he's rebounding this season. And that's huge for Ottawa moving forward.
Yeah. I mean, I think this is really just kind of a personal preference of who you think has been one of the better players. So if you're listening to this, let us know in the comments on Twitter who you think your top three have been through the first three games. Let us know what you think the Thursday game is going to be. But, you know, we can talk about everything the last two games. We can talk about whatever we can for hours on end here. But we are the Sens Hour, so we got to keep it to an hour. This was a great episode. It's great talking about actual hockey games again. And, you know, I think we can all say that this has been a lot more fun first three games than people were expecting. I think a lot of people were going to be like, oh, you know, they're going to lose the first three. Probably we're going to lose probably a good amount. I think there was one projection that had Ottawa with 12 regulation wins. So, like, better than what we've hoped. But that'll be all for this episode, guys. Thank you all for tuning in. Remember to follow us on Twitter. We're only a couple away from 700 followers on our Twitter page. Subscribe to our YouTube channel. We're still working on some kinks. We'll hopefully have some more content outside of just the episodes on YouTube soon. Instagram, Twitter, Sens_Hour, YouTube at Sens Hour. Remember, DraftKings, we have our thing going on. Get a chance to win $1 million in prizes. Use promo code THPN, and customizedsports.com. Gotta love them. They're fantastic. Great quality work. Head on over to customizedsports.com. Use promo code SENZHOUR to get 10% off your order. And hey, if you have a blank jersey and you just want to put something on it, you can get the Stutzla with the amulet. You can get the Brandstroms with the amulet if you really want to. Be some fun, festive way to do it. Check them out. Totally worth it. For Derek, you can check him out at DLee075, SenShot, and New Era Sense for his writing content. Do recommend, very good stuff. And for myself, Shannon underscore Ryan97. We'll catch you back here next week with a brand new episode recapping the two last Winnipeg games and previewing our Vancouver series. So you won't want to miss that. Have a safe one, guys. Enjoy the NHL season.